All right? Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 this morning. The Gospel of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading at verse 4. And I'm going to read through verse 21. And as I read through these verses, I want you to notice the emphasis in this passage on hearing. On hearing. You'll see the words hear and heard used repeatedly throughout the passages. We'll begin Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. The Bible says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears, let him what? Let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now verse 9. "And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that what? That hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they what? When they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have what? When they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having what? Having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye what? How ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which, what? Hear the word of God and do it. Dear Father, I pray this morning that you would bless as I seek to preach the word of God. A very rich passage of Scripture, one from which I have preached on several occasions over the years, but one from which I have never approached it from quite the angle that we're going to look at it this morning. And so I pray that the people would sit up, listen carefully, and say, I want to know what the Word of God has to say, that they would hear as you would have them to hear today. Please fill me with your Spirit. Please help me to think clearly, plainly, simply. Please, God, let me preach with your blessings upon your Word. Oh, God, please do. Speak to hearts here this morning. Is there someone here this morning that does not know you as their Savior? Please touch that heart. Bring them to your saving grace. Lord, for us as Christians, please touch our hearts, reminding us that it is not just enough to hear the Word of God, but we must hear it the right way. Hear it in the right way. Hear it for the right purpose, with the right attitude. And that, God, we would be better hearers of Thy Word as a result of this being here this morning. And everybody said with the preacher, Amen. I'm glad you're here. And I trust that the main reason you came was to hear from God. So many times when people come to church, they come for all kinds of reasons other than to hear from God. Sometimes they come because they like the style of music. Sometimes they come just because they perhaps want to see if somebody else is going to be there. Sometimes they come to just kind of enjoy the company, the fellowship, whatever. But whenever you come to the house of God, your primary purpose for coming should be this: I want to hear from God. That's what it's all about. Years ago, a man by the name of Ebenezer Blackwell, he was a wealthy banker, and he was also a very good friend of both John and Charles Wesley, two Wesley brothers. If you're familiar with the Wesley brothers, you realize that Charles Wesley is best remembered as the great hymn writer. He wrote well over 6,000 hymns in his lifetime. And that's what Charles is primarily known for, as the great hymn writer. His brother John is best remembered for his preaching. That's how he is best remembered. And here was this man, Ebenezer Blackwell, a close friend of both of these brothers. Well, one day, Mr. Blackwell crossed paths with another friend as he was on his way to a meeting where John Wesley was going to be preaching. And Mr. Blackwell's friend said this to him. He said, "Ah, Ebenezer," he said, I see that you're going to hear John Wesley preach again." And Ebenezer Blackwell replied. He said, "No." He said, "I'm going to hear God." He said, "I listen to him, whoever it is that's preaching. Otherwise, I would lose all my labors," which was a way of saying back in those days, it would be a waste of time if he went to hear somebody preach just to hear the preacher. He said, "It doesn't matter if it's the great John Wesley or if it's some other preacher. Whoever it is, when I go to hear them, I'm actually going to hear a message from God." And that's the way it should be when we come to the house of God. We ought to come to hear from God. Now, I pray that you come to this service as Ebenezer Blackwell did over 100 years ago when he went to hear John Wesley, that you came not to hear Pastor Holmes, that you came not to be entertained or any other thing, but other than you just want to get a message from God. You want God to speak to your heart. Now, the Bible has quite a bit to say about this matter of hearing. I've chosen as the text this morning Luke chapter 8. But there's a complementary passage of Scripture back in Mark chapter 4. And back in that complementary passage of Scripture, our Lord Jesus there speaking as He is in Luke chapter 8, He said this in Mark 4:24. He said, "Take heed what you hear." Take heed what you hear. You realize that you should be very selective about what you allow to enter into your ear gates. We used to sing a little song when I was a boy in Sunday school. "Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be left careful, little ears, what you hear. For your Father up above, He's looking down on you," and so forth there. You remember the little chorus? "Be careful, little ears, what you hear." Now, you ought to be very selective about what you allow to enter into your ear gates. You can poison your mind by what you allow to enter your ears as surely as you can poison your body by what you allow to enter into your mouth. If I were to bring something here this morning and I'd say this is a deadly poison, I want everybody here to take some of it. Just put a little bit on your tongue and swallow it. If it doesn't kill you, it's certainly going to make you very sick. You'd say, "Well, preacher, there's no way in the world that I'm going to do anything like that." And you'd be wise in doing that. But wait a minute. Day in and day out, you know what you do? You allow things that will poison your mind and defile your mind to enter in through your ears. And we're trying to get us to realize this morning that we ought to be as careful about what enters into our ears as we are about what enters into our mouths. We do not want our minds poisoned. I have a poisoned mind this morning. You know why it's poisoned? It's because of things that I allowed to enter into my ears decades ago. Back before I was saved, back when I was just a teenager, the music I listened to, the lyrics of the music, the jokes I listened to and so forth there. You know what? As a result of that, they've messed up my mind. They've defiled my mind. And oh, if I could get young people to realize that, you better be careful. You better be careful about what you listen to. I better be very careful about that. You should be very selective about what you listen to from your fellow church members. You get around church people, and if you are not very careful, it won't be long before your conversation will deteriorate into nothing other than gossip. Or you'll end up listening to something somebody will say something a little negative about your church, and you'll end up picking up on that, and somebody else will say something else. And if you are not very careful, what you'll find out is this: your mind will become poisoned against your own church, or against another brother or sister in Christ, or against your pastor. You got to be very careful. You got to be very careful about what you listen to, even from other church members. Now, this applies to every area of your life. It applies to your job. How a man will have a job, he enjoys that job, everything's going good, but he'll listen to somebody complain a little bit about the environment. Listen to somebody complain a little bit about perhaps the style of leadership of the employer or the supervisor. And after a while, you know what happens? His mind becomes poisoned, and no longer can he enjoy his job. The same can happen to a young person about their parents. You get around young people, they're talking about their parents, referring to them as the old man, the old woman, and things like that, and how cruel parents are and how hard parents are. It won't be long, you listen to that, and your mind will become poisoned towards your parents. The same can happen with a husband towards his wife, or a wife towards her husband. It can happen in any area of your life. You need to be very selective about what you listen to. You should be especially selective about what you listen to that is labeled as spiritual or that is labeled as Christian. You realize spiritual poison is often mixed with biblical truth to disguise that it is poison. I want you to just listen to one warning in the Word of God over the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and the first two verses. Here's what the Apostle Peter wrote. He says, But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Did you get that? Damnable heresies. What does it mean, a damnable heresy? It's a heresy that damns a soul to hell. He says they will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And now get this, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know what Peter's saying? He's saying to these people, he says, listen here. He said, there's always been false prophets, false teachers and preachers. And he said, they're going to be among you. And may I say to us, they're among us today. And he said, you have to be very discerning, because they're going to come in. And a lot of people, not just a few, he says, many is going to follow their pernicious ways. In fact, he says it's going to be so saturate Christianity that by reason of their teachings, the way of truth will be evil spoken of. Do you realize today that the preacher that stands up and preaches the truth will be evil spoken of by other professing Christians who have compromised on the truth, who have not used spiritual discernment in what they listen to? And the same will happen to you as an individual Christian. You need to be very careful. You need to be very, very selective about what you listen to, even if it is labeled spiritual or even if it is labeled Christian. You need to be very careful. Now, let's get back to Luke chapter 8, which is my text here this morning. I want us to glean two or three little things here from Luke chapter 8. The first thing I want us to glean is this. We need to take heed to hear the Word of God often. Take heed to hear the Word of God often. You will never overdose on the Word of God. You'll never get too much of the Word of God. So take heed to hear the Word of God often. Now, we look back here in this 8th verse of the text. And the Lord says here, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And this is in the context of hearing the Word of God. You realize that 4 times it is recorded that Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It is recorded in Matthew 11:15, Mark 4:9, Luke chapter 8, verse 8, which is a part of our text, and also Luke chapter 14 and verse 35. Do you realize that 2 times the Lord also said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear? That's in Matthew 13:9 and Matthew 13:43. And then there were 2 other times when the Lord said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. That's Mark 4:23 and Mark 7:16. And then we find the Bible says, he that hath an ear, not ears, if he's just got an ear, one ear, let him hear. That's Revelation 2:7, 11, 17, 29, and Revelation 3:6, 13, and 22. 7 times in those two chapters of Revelation. And then finally in Revelation 13:9, the Bible says, if any have an ear, let him hear. Now, these are phrases, very similar phrases, and they're used a total of 16 different times in the Word of God. And every time they're talking about listening to what the Word of God has to say. Now, from those exhortations, is it not obvious that the Lord expects us, yea, wants us, to listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God often? That you can never get enough of the Word of God. And so I say to you, first of all, here this morning, listen to the Word of God often. May it be very selective about who's doing the teaching, who's doing the preaching. Make sure there's somebody that's gun barrel straight with the Word of God. But when you find somebody like that, saturate your mind with the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. I read the story about a pastor. He was visiting one of his church members. His church member had used to come to church on a regular basis. He'd be there on Sunday night, be there on Wednesday night, but he had dropped off to where he was just coming to the Sunday morning service, not even coming to Sunday school anymore. And so the pastor was concerned about him, and he went to see him. And he said, I know you used to come to church, and you'd be there every time the doors were open. Now you just come to the Sunday morning service. He said, I want you to know I'm concerned about you. I want to know what's going on in your life. And his church member said something to him like this to him. He said, well, pastor, he said, I'm going to tell you what. He said, you just preach such wonderful, deep sermons. He says, they're just so wonderful that I could just go to church on Sunday morning, and I can listen to one of them, and it takes me all the rest of the week just to digest that thing. Your preaching is so good. You know what the pastor said? He said, I'm afraid your problem is not your digestion, it is your appetite. And he was right. You need to expose yourself to the Word of God every single opportunity you can. So I say to you, first of all, take heed to listen to the Word of God often. Often. Never assume you've had enough. Never assume you've had enough. Never do that. Listen to it every chance you get. The second thing I want you to see this morning is this. Take heed to hear the Word of God carefully. We need to be careful what we hear, but we also need to listen to what we hear very carefully. Now, you look at the 18th verse of our text. And the Lord said this, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. How ye hear. Otherwise, you need to be very careful in listening to the Word of God. You don't want to just come and listen to it carelessly, half-heartedly. You want to listen to it very, very carefully. John Bunyan, one of my heroes of the faith, I guess, if you could say he had a hero of the faith. That old Baptist preacher that preached the truth of the Word of God and spent years in the Bedford jail where he wrote Pilgrim's Progress and so many other wonderful things that he wrote. But John Bunyan said this. He said, the head, also the hearts of most hearers, are to the Word of God as a sieve is to the water. They hold no sermons, remember no text, bring home no proofs, produce none of the sermon to the edification and profit of others. And Bunyan was right. So many people come to the house of God and they listen, and it looks like they are listening very carefully, but they cannot tell you one single thing about what the preacher preached on after they leave the house of God. Many times over the years, I've had somebody say something like this to me. Preacher, that was a great sermon you preached Sunday. I say, wonderful. Tell me what you got out of it that really blessed your heart. And you can see the blank look on their face. They can't remember a thing that I said. Not a single thing that I said. Just a few days after I preached it, and they've talked about how wonderful it was, they can't remember a single thing. Brethren, such things ought not be so among us. Amen? They ought not so be so among us. Now, I want you to look back at this Luke chapter 8 and look at verse 18 again. He says, take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, now get this, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. The Bible there, among other things, it is warning us that listening to the Word of God with indifference leads to a greater ignorance of the Bible. You listen to me. Your knowledge and understanding and wisdom in applying the Bible, it never just plateaus out and stays there. It is always growing and increasing, or it is decreasing. And you reach a point where you say, well, I think I know all I need to know about the Word of God. There's nothing new I can learn. I'm going to start laying out of church. I'll just go occasionally and so forth there. And you do that, and you know what happens? You'll end up losing that which you've already gotten. You end up losing it. If you want to keep what you've got, you better start keep getting more. That's just the way it works. So the Word of God is warning us about listening to the Word of God with indifference. It will simply lead to greater ignorance of the Bible. Now, listening carefully to the Word of God, when it's taught, when it's preached, listening carefully to the Word of God. Listen to the parts that you like. Listen to the parts that you don't like. Listen carefully to the Word's comforts and encouragements. We all need those from time to time, do we not? To come to the house of God, perhaps whenever we're grieving over the death of a loved one, our loved one that is dying. Perhaps we come to the house of God after having a rough week on the job or facing problems in the home or whatever, and we just need comfort or we need encouragement. Listen, we can come to the house of God then and we can soak it up, brother, can we not? We'll soak it in. But you need to listen just as carefully to the Word's reproofs and the Word's rebukes. When you come to the house of God and you think that everything is all right in your life, you feel like you're a pretty good fella. And lo and behold, the preacher gets up there and he starts meddling in your life by way of the Word of God. Starts stepping on your toes, as they call it. You know what? You need to listen just as carefully to the Word's reproofs and the Word's rebukes as you do the Word's comforts and encouragements. We all need it. Listen carefully to the Word's pleasant promises and prophecies. Man, when we come to the Word of God and the preacher stands up and then preaches about the Lord's promise, I will never leave you or nor forsake you. I love that kind of preaching, don't you? And we come to the Word of God and we listen to the prophecies preached about, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. We were preaching about the rapture. I love the thought of the rapture. I love those promises. I love those prophecies. But you know something? We need to listen just as carefully to the Word's unpleasant warnings. We need to listen just as carefully when the preacher preaches on the judgment seat of Christ, which follows the rapture, as we do when the preacher preaches on the rapture. Amen? We need to listen very carefully to everything. Listen carefully to the Word's condemnation of the sins of others. But listen just as carefully to the Word's condemnation of your sins and the sins of your family and the sins of your children. Listen as carefully to one as you listen to the other. I'm saying we need to take heed how we listen to the Word of God. We need to listen to the Word of God very carefully. Very carefully. Now, a third thing I want you to get is this. Take heed to hear the Word of God with purpose. With purpose. Listen to the Word of God for a reason. More than just to educate you and to make you a little bit more of a Bible scholar. There's reasons why we should listen to the Word of God. Number one is this. We should hear the Word of God for the purpose of applying it to our lives. Listen to the Word of God for the purpose of applying it to our lives. Look down again at Luke chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. Then came to him, the Lord Jesus, his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. Now remember, he's just told the parable and expounded upon the parable about the importance of hearing the Word of God. And he answered and said unto them in verse 21, my mother and brethren are these which hear the Word of God and what? And do it. These, he says, this is my family. He is not denying that his mother's part of his family. He's not denying that his brothers were a part of his biological family, but they did not believe in him until after the resurrection. But what he is saying is this, this is my family here. Those that hear the Word of God and put it into practice in their life, they do it. And so I say to you that we should listen to the Word of God for the purpose of putting it into our lives, of applying it into our lives. Now, a parallel passage of Scripture is found over in the book of James. The little book of James, Hebrews, James. You look at James chapter 1, and you look at verse 22, and listen to what the Bible says. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. You get that? Doers, and not only hearers. Deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now notice here, He is using the illustration of a man looking in a mirror and seeing himself. I think it's interesting he didn't use an illustration of a woman there. No woman's going to look in the mirror and see that her hair's messed up or maybe her makeup smeared and not do anything about it. Amen? But he said if a man will look in the mirror, what he looks like, he's prone to just walk away and let it go. Amen? People just get over it. But the Bible says don't be like that man. He says you look in the mirror, and if you see something's messed up, your hair's not right, you see there's some gook in the corner of your eyes, you see whatever, something's wrong with you, he says, what does a man do? He ought to correct that before he goes out in the world. Amen? And the Bible's saying that that's the way it is with us when we come to the Word of God. When we come to the Word of God, we are not to listen to it preached, we're not to listen to it taught, we're not to read it, and just look and say, wow, man, that really got to me right there. That really exposed some things in my life that are not right. Man, the preacher really stepped on my toes. He skinned me alive today. Just go out and even talk about it. Man, the preacher got all over me yesterday morning. He got all over me. No, you're supposed to do something about it. Amen? You're supposed to do something. So you are to listen to the Word of God for the purpose of applying it in your life. Most people approach preaching much like a wife who asks her husband if she's getting fat. She doesn't want him to tell her that she is. Amen? And he doesn't dare do it. They don't want to know the truth. And woe be to the husband who tell the truth. And people come to the house and they say, preacher, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. Step on my toes. All right. You asked for it. Here it goes. Bam! Man, they get upset. They didn't want to hear it to begin with, did they? They wanted people to think they wanted the truth, but they didn't really want it. No, we listen to the Word of God for the purpose of applying it in our lives. But a second reason is this. We listen to the Word of God for the purpose of dispersing it. Now, I said there's a complimentary passage of Scripture that I referred to earlier back in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. I want you to listen to this verse again I referred to earlier, Mark 4 and verse 24. He said unto them, take heed, what you hear, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. You know what it means? Meet, you're giving it out. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Now here's the idea. Here's the idea. You hear the Word of God, you don't damn it up in your life. You let your life be a channel through which it flows to other people. You hear the Word of God and you say, all right, I learned something here today. You know what I want to do? I want to go teach this to somebody else. I want to go tell this to somebody else. I can't wait till I get to work tomorrow and I get to tell somebody about what I learned in the Word of God. I can't wait until ever I get home and we can talk about what I learned in Sunday school today. Maybe my other family members want in my class. I can't wait to do that. We want to disperse the Word of God. You see, it's not only important to listen to the right things, but we are also to give out the Word of God if we want God to give us more of it. Now, do you want to know your Bible better? Two people do. Thank God. Huh? Would to God more it is. I said, do you want to know your Bibles better? All right, let me tell you what to do. Start teaching it. Start teaching it. Everywhere you go. Tell people about the Word of God. You get an opportunity to give a devotion to men's fellowship. You get an opportunity to fill in a Sunday school class. Whatever the case, teach the Word of God. And the more you give out, the more you'll learn. The more you'll learn. That's one of the blessed things about it. Now, so far, I've been preaching to what we call the saved. That is those of us that know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But for these closing few minutes, I want to preach to those that are lost. And my lost friend, if I'm talking to you, if you're lost, and I do consider you somebody that's very precious, a dear person, a dear friend, please listen to what this book has to say to you this morning. This book says that you are a sinner by your very nature. You say, what in the world? Well, you see, because of Adam, the first man who sinned, by Adam, sin entered into the world. And therefore, all of us as descendants of Adam, we are born with a sin nature. That's Bible. That's Bible. Even for us as Christians, the Bible says that we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We are born with that sin nature. Therefore, It is as natural for a man to sin as it is for a dog to bark, or for a cat to scratch, for a tiger to growl, or whatever. It's natural for a man to sin. You are born with that sin nature. This book says also that your sins, because you are born with an inclination to sin, you are going to sin. And the book says that your sins have offended your Creator, who is Almighty God. The God of this book, this Bible that I'm preaching from, the only true and living God. In fact, your sins are so offensive to this God that He cannot and He will not let your sins go unpunished. If He did, He would compromise His righteousness and no longer be a holy, righteous God. And so He cannot allow our sins to go unpunished. They must be paid for. But this same book says this, that God loves you in spite of your sins against Him. This same book tells us that He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to take on human flesh that He might go to the cross of Calvary and suffer the punishment for your sins and my sins, for the sins of the entire world. Do you see what the Bible is teaching us here? We are sinners. We have sinned against God. We have offended Him. He demands that our sins be punished. He cannot sacrifice His holiness and His righteousness by allowing our sin to go unpunished. But He loves us so much that He says this, here's what I'm going to do. Rather than you having to be punished for your sins, I'm going to give my Son to take your punishment upon Himself. That's what this Bible says that Jesus did. He came as the Son of God and took our punishment upon Himself. And this book tells us that if you will repent of your sinfulness and accept Jesus Christ as the one that died in your place, died as your substitute, that God will forgive you of your sins and give you eternal, everlasting life and even give you life abundant if you'll live for Him. That's the teaching of this book right here. What a wonderful, wonderful message. Amen. You remember when you first realized the truth of that, when you responded to that? Most glorious day in your life. Amen? The most glorious day in your life. Now, if you're here without the Lord as your Savior, I ask you, will you, for the sake, first of all, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and secondly, for the welfare of your eternal soul, will you not, as we close this service with an invitation time, will you not humble yourself and walk up here and say to me, I'll be standing right down here in front of this communion table. Will you not just walk up here and say, Pastor, I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I want this Jesus that paid for my sins. I want you to have somebody tell me how I can receive Him as my Savior. And let me tell you what we'll do. If you're a lady or a girl, we'll have one of our ladies take you aside and open this old book that I'm preaching from this morning and show you from this old book how you can be saved this morning. And if you're a boy or a man, we'll have one of our men take you aside and show you from this old book how you can be saved this morning. This book has the answer. And you can be saved this morning. I beg you to do so. I beg you to do so. You're saved. You say, well, what about me, preacher? Have you been listening to the book? Have you been listening to it as often as you can? Have you been listening to it carefully? Have you been very selective about what you're listening to in the Word of God? All these things are very important about how we listen to God's Word. Let's